Reading, please, in Revelation chapter 13. Reading and exposition will begin at verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now you'll keep your Bibles handy, won't you, please? In the days that lie ahead, there are going to be quite a number of prominent persons taking part in the affairs of men. Thus, if you read your Bible intelligently, especially the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation. You will find such persons as these upon the stage of time. You will find here the first beast, the Roman prince referred to in Daniel 9, the coming world Superman, energized by Satan, head of a revived Roman Empire whose capital will be in Rome. The second beast of the chapter, he is more religious than political. He will be the coming Antichrist, whose headquarters will be in Jerusalem. Added to these personages, there is other persons referred to, such as the King of the North, the King of the South, the Assyrian, the Kings of the East, and far north, Russia. Now, it may be, for it's not always easy to distinguish. You see, Palestine is the center. So the King of the North is north of Palestine, the King of the South is south. Those who come from the east are east of Palestine, west, and so on. But on the whole, the broad outline is quite clear. Now, when you come forward to these days, now let me just go back a moment, please. We saw last night that there is one prophetic week, according to Daniel 9, that has to come. A week of 7 years. We saw last night that the opening of the seals brings before us the beginning of those 7 years. But when you come to what we saw, the abomination of desolation set up, that's the beginning of the last 3.5 years. Referred to, as we noted, and it's mentioned here, those last 3.5 years mentioned as 42 months, 1260 days, a time, a year, times 2 years, 3 years, and half a time, 3.5 years. And you'll get expressions like that, that concentrate your mind on the last 3.5 years, during which there will be terrible suffering throughout the world. In that time, the godly shall suffer greatly. Under, as we shall see in a moment, the ruthless dictatorship of this Superman and the Antichrist. Just to indicate to you a little more than what I touched on last night, if you care to drop your eye to chapter 11, the scene is set in Jerusalem. Verse 3, God has two witnesses. I will give power unto my two witnesses. These are prophets. They shall prophesy about 1260 days. That's the last half of the 7 years. Down now, please, to verse 5. If anyone will seek to hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, devouring their enemies. So that means that it's a verbal judgment. All they'll need to do is to speak in that day, and the power of God will vanquish their enemies. Verse 6. They have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So they have the power of Elijah to shut the heavens. They have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues like Moses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth up out of the abyss, that's his satanic origin, he shall make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Got that? So that for 3.5 years they witness with supernatural power, and then they are killed. Verse 8. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of Jerusalem, where the Lord was crucified. Verse 9. They shall come from all over to see their dead bodies as they lie for 3.5 days. Verse 10, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice and make merry. That is, they'll have a holiday, send gifts one to another, rejoicing because the two prophets that tormented them are dead. Verse 11, after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood up upon their feet. Verse 12, they heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they were translated to heaven. Tremendous scene, isn't it? That will happen in the not so far distant future. These two witnesses, like the two beasts, could be alive today. Makes you think, doesn't it? Now, so in chapter 11, two witnesses. Come forward to chapter 12. Chapter 12, first of all, intimates two wonders, then two wars. Two witnesses, chapter 11, two wonders. Verse 1, the first wonder is a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet. She's about to bring forth a child. Verse 2. Verse 5, she brought forth the man-child who's to rule all nations, Christ. Got that? So the woman speaks of Israel. The male child that is born, destined to rule the world, is Christ. Verse 3, the second wonder. There appeared another wonder in heaven, the great red dragon, Satan. Verse 4, he stood before the woman to devour her child. Now you've got the scene. Verse 5. The child was caught up to the throne. So everything is passed over. Because you're not dealing with the birth of Christ particularly. And you're not dealing with the death of Christ particularly. What is in view is to show the dragon who's prepared to persecute the woman that brought forth the male child, Israel. Now, come forward now, please. Not only two wonders, the woman and the dragon, two wars. Verse 7, war in heaven. Verse 12, war on earth. The devil is come down. Verse 13, he persecuted the woman. Two wars, a war in heaven. Look now, please, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and Michael and his angels won the victory. And the devil was cast down to earth. Verse 10 is the celebration of it. Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Verses 12, rejoice, O ye heavens, and so on. Verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For the devil has come down. Verse 12, having great wrath. He knows his time is short. And he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Verse 13. So here's the persecution of the godly in Israel. Those who are standing out against the beast, the Superman. Verse 14. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle to fly into the wilderness. She's helped by God. Do you remember when Israel came out of Egypt? It says that they were born on eagle's wings. So here God comes to the aid of his people and provides a refuge. Verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Verse 16. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood. Now it's figurative language. It indicates this, that the devil will use the beast and others to persecute the godly remnant. They would call it in our day anti-Semitism. the old idea of the persecution of the Jews, but this time, because they are remaining loyal to God and to Christ. And it says that the earth helped the woman, there will be nations who will come to the rescue of these people and give them shelter from the persecution. Now, that brings us now to chapter 13. Not now two witnesses, not now two wonders, not now two wars, but two beasts rising up. You will notice now the first beast, please, verses 1 to 10. Now, I'll show you in a moment that this is the revival of the ancient Roman Empire. That will be quite easy. The only difficulty about the passage is this, that it's sometimes not easy to appreciate whether it's the government of the day that's in view under the figure of a beast, or whether it's the personal head of the government that's in view. That is, if Margaret Thatcher speaks at any time, she's speaking for the government. She represents the government. And so it's difficult at times, but we'll go down through it and try to come to certain conclusions about the matter. Verse 1. The first beast rises up out of the sea, out of an unsettled condition of things. Now, you don't interpret prophecy in the light of the time now present. But you can. There are certain things that indicate future conditions. And in the world today, things are very unsettled. As I pointed out to you last night, there's not a statesman that can handle the situation. Britain's bankrupt of statesmanship. So is the world. You can see in this recession, with very little outlook, every nation in the red, you can see that if there comes forward a superman who is a brilliant administrator, who borders on genius, who can show the way to solve financial problems, who can begin to take other nations under his wing who are finding it hard going. For we'll find here that this kingdom reappears in a 10-kingdom forum. The 10 horns are 10 kingdoms. Revelation 17 is the explanation. The 10 horns are 10 kings. Now, just for a moment, please, to try and draw your attention to why I connect it with the Roman Empire. Would you look at verse 2, please? Now the beast that he saw was like a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. So that he combines the features of a leopard, the features of a bear, and the features of a lion. Got that? Now please, if you wish, to turn your Bibles to Daniel 7. We'll look at a bit of history. Now, what I am now about to bring before you is history. Now, it's biblical revelation, but it has long since become history. God is now going to prophesy during the days of the Babylonish Empire. Nebuchadnezzar's day. Now, Daniel 7 says this. Allow me to go forward to verse 4, will you? He saw four beasts. Verse 3. The first was like a lion. That was the Babylonish Empire. Verse 5. Behold, another beast, a second, like a bear. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. Verse 6, after that I beheld, and another like a leopard. That's the Grecian Empire. Verse 7, And then I saw in the night's vision, and behold, a fourth beast. Now the Roman Empire followed that. Now watch this fourth beast, because this is what's coming to light again in Revelation 13. We've seen the lion, the bear, and the leopard. The prominent features of the Babylonish, Medo-Persian, and Grecian empires, all going to be combined in this beast here. Now verse 7, please. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the rest with his feet. Now do you see the autocratic, overruling power of the Roman Empire as it followed on? Now come right down now, please, to verse 19. Because things are moving now, and the prophet is taking it forward beyond the historical empire to the prophetic empire. He says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass," and so on. "And of the 10 horns which were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell." That means this, that the coming Superman will conquer 3, and then the other 7 will come in under him. Now, come now, please, to verse 23. Then he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be divided, but diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak words against the Most High." We read that in chapter 13 here. "And think to chain and wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time," 1 year, "times, 2 years," that's 3 years, and the dividing of a time, half a year. See how he's come forward to the prophetic Roman Empire. And using the time scale that we have seen in the book of the Revelation. So that, back now to Revelation 13 verse 2, this beast that rises, this government, combines all the features of the previous ones. Only they're given here in reverse order. That is, when this government rises, and the Superman takes his place of leadership in government, the power will be like a leopard. That is, swiftly, like a leopard, they'll pounce on their enemies and quickly devour them, overcome them. His feet will be like the feet of a bear, so that the government is looked as massive, ferocious, terrible, devouring. It will crush every other government underneath it. It will be as merciless as would a bear be. You can't appeal to them. Just the same as you could never appeal to a bear. You see, beasts, governments are looked upon as beasts in the Bible, so are men. It means that they act without conscience and without mercy. Satanic inspired. There will be no court of appeal. Everybody will be crushed under their dominion. And notice, please, his mouth is like the mouth of a lion, roaring in his strength and majesty, striking fear and terror into every nation around, until ultimately he conquers. Terrible, isn't it? Not so far away. Come again. The close of verse 2. The source of his power. "And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his authority." So he is satanic inspired.
The devil's behind it.
Notice, he gave him power. Unlimited, naked power. None able to stop him. He gave him authority. The word authority here means the right to exercise the power. So the devil gave him authority so that he could use that power in whichever way he wished to accomplish his ends. And he gave him a throne and a capital where decisions are made and from which administration goes out. And behind him is the dragon. The dragon speaks of Satan in all his mighty power. Just as the devil speaks of him as a slanderer, Satan as an adversary, a serpent as to subtlety. So here is the dragon in his power. And he is behind this government and this man. Verse 3. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And the result was that all the world wondered after the beast. Now this is where you come to a problem as to whether it's the government or the man. Maybe both. Conservative scholars would indicate that they think it's the government that's in view. That is that the Roman Empire, so long buried in the past, rises again. That doesn't often happen. That a previous power in the past, you know that from history, doesn't often arise again. But the miraculous coming to light of the Roman power will be such, with all its brilliant administration, to make men to admire it. But some think it's the beast himself that's wounded, while it says it's that one of his heads that's wounded and not the beast. Some think that this is the devil's travesty of death and resurrection. If this is the head, the Superman, the Roman prince that the Bible talks about, then it says he was wounded to death. You will notice, please, that it's spoken of as a deadly wound. Verse 12. Verse 16 tells us he was wounded by a sword. So if it's a person, it means that someone attempted to assassinate him with a sword. And he received a wound that normally would be fatal, but the wound was healed. It was like a resurrection. Now, of course, if that's the way of it, you can understand this in that day. It could be a great public occasion. It could be flashing on TV screens, everybody in the world watching, him making his appearance, and suddenly an assassin appears to kill him. Here, using a sword, whatever it may be, it was a weapon. And he received a wound that normally would prove fatal. Now you can understand, whether it be the government or the person, such a miraculous recovery, and the whole world is wondering after the beast. He's captured world admiration. We're going to see his influence goes out all over. But you might say to me, I thought you said a moment or two ago that it was a Roman Empire along somewhat similar lines to the old. That's right. But just a minute. America wields influence far beyond our territory. Isn't that right? Moscow, Russia wields influence far beyond our territory. And there was a day when Britain wielded influence far beyond our territory in the days of the Empire. So you see, here is a man. And the whole world is filled with admiration as this man comes forth in his government. Brilliant. Confident. Arrogant. Powerful. A world leader. The charisma, as they talk about, that can attract and subdue men to his authority and control. Oh, you can see how the world will go after the devil's man. verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, Satanism. There's a lot of that in Britain, in case you don't know. Satanism. Where people gather together to worship Satan. Oh, beware of the occult. You young folks especially, beware. It's satanic and hellish. But here, they worship Satan. And they worship the beast. And 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about the image of the... talks about the man of sin sitting in the temple in Jerusalem accepting worship. Isn't that right? The Trinity of hell in contrast to the Trinity of heaven. Three persons worshipped on earth. The close of verse 4. As they worship the beast, they say, who, see, it's becoming personal now. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who is like unto the beast, his person? Who is able to make war with him, his power? And they are paying tribute, exalting the beast, because his person is unique. And seemingly supernatural. For if it's the person that's wounded, you can't kill this man. He's got superpower. They tried to bring him down and they couldn't. Can you understand now why they're wandering after the beast? And they're saying, who is like unto... you would hardly think that this is the godless society of today, who won't worship the true God and will deny the existence of God in Christ, yet will bow to worship a Satan-inspired man. That's flesh. It's an enmity against God, and we'll never submit to it. Be thankful tonight you're saved. Come again. Verse 5. Verse 5. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Notice that. Notice, please, as you go down through, you get this. Verse 5, a mouth speaking great things. Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy. Do you remember Daniel 7? Speaking against the Most High. Oh, brethren, the power of words! The power of oratory to sway people. And here's this man. And he's anti-God. It says this. He speaks great things and blasphemies. Watch now. Verse 5. Power was given unto him to continue 3.5 years. 42 months. See how you're constantly coming against the time factor. It'll only go on so long and no further. God has even the days counted, 1260 days and not a day beyond. Come again. Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, that's his person. To blaspheme his name, that's his character. And his tabernacle, that is heaven. And them that dwell in heaven. So here is a man, publicly uttering blasphemy against God. And against his character. And against heaven. And against those that are in heaven, whether angels or men. For the beast won't have forgotten that the two witnesses in the end not only defied him for the best part of 3.5 years, but ultimately were translated to heaven. He probably in his presence, he saw them going up. So here he is with a satanic hatred. Listen to me, will you? Make no mistake about this. This man is satanic inspired. And I want to tell you tonight, you're God's people just now and the devil hates you, every one of you. You wouldn't live if it wasn't for God protecting you.
He would kill every one of us.
Don't you make jokes about him? I tell you, it's very real. It's murderous hatred. Come again. Verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That is, the godly who are standing for God in that day. Power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations and people. Verse 8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now watch now, please, the correction of the text. Whose names are not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb slain. The foundation of the world connects with the names that are written and not with the Lamb. That's just by the way. Verse 9. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Now this is written. This is written. Have you got this? Nearly 2,000 years ago. Light thrown up in the future. People can get guidance from this. Any man here, let him hear. They will be here for their guidance in that day. Verse 10. The assurance that despite all their trouble, the inexorable law of sowing and reaping will operate. Remember this, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. As you sow, you'll reap. Do you believe that? It's not what the Bible says. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Be careful how you talk about and handle each other. For just as you've handled and spoken about others, so it'll come back to you. In this day, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. That's right. That will be true of this beast and false prophet. They'll ultimately be, yes, they'll, in fact, more. They killed others. They'll actually go to the lake of fire alive. They're cast alive into the lake of fire, Revelation 19. Come again. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That is, in that day, let the godly who suffer remember this, that God in his own time will take vengeance on their oppressors. Come now please to verse 11. Another beast comes out of the earth or out of the land in a settled condition of things. It would seem from the reading that the first beast is a Gentile and the second is a Jew. That's why I find a difficulty in the first beast being the Antichrist. I can't see the nation of Israel accepting a Gentile as the Messiah. Come again. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spake like a dragon. Like a lamb, it's a caricature of Christ. But actually, he is controlled by the devil. Got that? This is the devil's man now. Christ came in his own name and they refused him. Is that what he said? Another shall come in his own name and you'll receive him. Come again. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So now you have a pact between Rome and Jerusalem. Going elsewhere, you are told that the first beast enters into a covenant with the second beast to protect them. He will give them military protection. And they set up a system that affects the whole of the earth. And the beast is to be worshipped. Now, of course, all that's quite clear. We want to get down to show how it's going to operate. It's going to be most interesting. Verse 13. This second beast doeth great miracles, wonders, signs. You see, the first beast doesn't do any. It's the second beast, aping Christ. Now, I showed you last night that one of the things that mark the parousia of the Antichrist, the coming of the Antichrist, is that he does miracles and signs and wonders, the same as what was attributed to Christ when he was here. A man approved of God by miracles and signs and wonders. Here's the Antichrist doing the same. Notice what he does. Verse 13, he makes fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, just like Elijah did. Do you remember Elijah claimed in 2 Kings 1, if I'm a man of God, fire from heaven will come down and devour you. It was the sign of the prophet that he came from God. Here's this man doing these signs. Can you wonder why verse 14 says he deceived them? And then, having deceived them, he says to them, in the middle of verse 14, saying to them, you see, once he deceives them, he's easy enough to command them. Once he's captivated them, they'll listen to his message. Oh, this is just Antichrist. Because that's the way Christ did things. Christ never performed miracles for miracles' sake. Isn't that right? These miracles in John's Gospel were signs. And then Christ would give a message based on the sign. So this man gives his sign from heaven, fire, and then he gives his message. But it's satanic deception. He deceiveth them that dwell in the earth, verse 14. By means of the miracles or wonders which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. The deification of man. Man worshipped as God. Hardly think that would come, would you? Look at the political powers godless today. You would hardly believe the time's coming when they're going to ally themselves with the religious power of the morrow, Babylon. You'd hardly believe that. But that's how things are going to work. Satan's going to combine all this on earth. Come again. Verse 15. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, to give breath to the image of the beast, that it should both speak and cause as many as would not worship should be killed. Now, this is interesting. Now, follow me carefully now, please. He causes the image to speak. He gives it breath so that it speaks like a man. Because your breath is in your words. Isn't that right? Your breath is in your words. That's how you speak. This is the prerogative of a man. Amongst all creation, mankind is the only ones that look up and speak. It's not right. The brute creation looks down and is dumb. Now, how is it done? Well, you get strange suggestions when you read the expositors and commentators. They talk about ventriloquism. They talk about mechanical devices. But that would be no wonder. That would be no miracle. Isn't that right? You wouldn't deceive the folks if you had a tape recorder going and the man's mouth going. Tell you what I believe. I believe that Satan will cause an evil spirit to inhabit the image and speak through it. The same as he inhabited living bodies here and spoke through them. Isn't that right? I believe it's demon possession. At the beginning of this year, we visited California. We went into an auditorium to see the story of America. And everybody, and there were no seats, you just stood, and all round about there were about a dozen large screens in which there were excerpts from all over America, and you went from state to state and they showed you, just a sort of instructive educational thing. But before it began, the lights went out, and then suddenly the curtains went back, and there was the image of a man sitting, and the spotlight played on him. And it was Abraham Lincoln. Suddenly, he began to speak. And he spoke for quite a time. And then he rose to his feet, still speaking. And he would put his hands behind his back and he spoke. Then he brought his hands out and he was still speaking. And as I stood and watched, my mind went to this passage. Now, quite clearly, there was a recorder going at the side. But can you see it? It was very lifelike. Most lifelike. Can you understand this? There's the image. You have to bow down and worship it. There's not only fire from heaven to accredit the false prophet, but here's the image actually speaking without electronics of any kind. I believe that an evil spirit is in it speaking through it, but you can think of the impression that it will make. Of people already duped by Satan. Tremendous, isn't it? Of course, the godly will discern that. They won't be deceived by it, but the mass will. Any kind of miracle will deceive the mass. Come again. Look now, please, at verse 16. He causeth all, both small and great. It doesn't matter your status personally. Rich and poor, it doesn't matter your status financially. Free and bond, it doesn't matter your status socially. He will cause them all to receive a mark in the right hand or on the foreheads. Now listen to me. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And you're told here that the number is 666, which of course is man at his best, one numeral short of perfection. 7, 777, threefold perfection. 666, just short of perfection. It is man developed fully as only Satan can develop him. And you have heard rumors and you've read in papers betimes of even banking systems, etc., supposing now to adopt 666. That, by the way. I'm interested in the mark, please, on the mark, whatever it may be, the name or the number in the hand or on the forehead. Whether it can be unseen or seen. Whether it be private or public. It could mean that everyone gets it, whether you're a manual worker with hand or an intellectual working with your brain, so to speak. No one is omitted. And unless you've got this mark, you'll not be able to buy or sell. Can you understand now why it was we saw in Matthew 24, when the abomination of desolation is set up, idolatry, and the deification of man, and to worship it flee to the mountains? You might live rough there. You'll never live in society where you'll need to show the mark. Let me go back to our visit to California. We were in a certain complex, very large complex, in which there was a small railway line operated. And you could get off here and there. But you were told that if you got off and you were coming back on again, you had to go through a certain door and come back in through a certain door. So you didn't need to pay again. Now, of course, that appealed to a Scotsman. Now, but watch. We went through and we were told to put our hand under a machine. So we did that. Pass on. We walked out and looked. No, nothing there. Not a thing. We got a mark, but you couldn't see anything. So, after a time, we came back in through the door we were told to go back in. And there was a gentleman sitting. And he said, put your hand under. And he pointed to the thing. Put the hand under, and it lit up. There it was, the mark. He said, all right, and we passed on. Might be there yet, I don't know. But under this, whatever it was, you electronic boys will know, infrared or something, the mark showed up. Now, I'm not saying in that day it won't be seen. It may be seen, but you can understand this, can't you? If you're going to a supermarket, you go through the door to collect your basket or trolley, you'll need to pass a certain place. You'll need to show the mark, whether it's seen or unseen, or it'll go into... If you haven't got it, there's no food. And this government is so efficient here, there'll be no black market. And if you're a businessman, you make for your wholesaler as you're going through the door, here or here, you need to carry the mark. If it's not there, you're out of business. You can't buy anywhere else. In other words, the godly will be starved. Outwardly. Now, I know that there are those who come through it. Maybe full revelation hasn't been given. You'll understand the terrible days, can't you? Can you see the state control that they're wanting? Now, we're not politicians. Now, you get this. For Christ wasn't a politician. And slavery existed in his day. And slavery existed in Paul's day, and he wasn't a politician. For they didn't come to put the world right that way. Your business is to preach, not to be a politician. Clear? But you can understand, can't you? You can understand that while you're not a politician, from the standpoint of the presence of God, you can intelligently take it all in.
and everything is under a rigid control. And even what communism tried to deny, as I told you the other night, with state worship in Russia and the personality cult in Stalin to establish themselves, they destroyed the personality cult when Stalin was dead. Here it's here. A government set up, personality cult and two leaders receiving worship. Can you see the danger of it? Listen to me. Written 2,000 years before there was ever anything known such as socialism, as communism, or any other kind. Go back to your Bibles. Get back to your book. Read it. You'll find guidance in 1,000 ways. If only you'll become intelligent. Guidance that will guide you daily in every sphere of life. That's right. Just a few months ago, in a certain book in the Bible, I was trying to show businessmen how they could get guidance from their Bible. Try to show how the Bible would teach you on certain principles of psychology if you want to understand. Why undermine the book? You see, we've got so clever and so independent, we never go to our Bible for guidance in anything. Why has God given us it? If not in there lay basic principles to help us in every sphere of life. That's right. Brethren, listen to me. There's a lot of tension within us, created by the fact that we want to go on with a bit of flesh in the world and not completely for Christ, and that creates tension within. And that comes out in physical ailment. If you're not at peace with yourself, if you're at war with yourself, you're at war with everybody. That's right. And you'll be upset in many ways. Here it is. What it will mean in those days to stand for God, we little understand. There are brethren elsewhere who are suffering imprisonment tonight. We don't know them. We pray for them. Our hearts bleed for them. As I said to you the other night, I don't know why we're not worthy. But there it is. What tremendous things lie ahead. Here is the patience and the faith of saints. Let us pray. Our Father, we are bowed before thee. The dark solemnities of days to come cast their shadow. Yet we thank thee for being able to sit here before thee and find in thy word these things unfolded, things which must shortly come to pass. O God, we think of a nation that rejected Christ, his blood be on us and on our children. We think, O God, of godlessness that has prevailed so long among the ungodly, sin becoming so open, violence becoming so rampant, the whole system, O God, becoming godless, anti-God, anti-Christ. O God, what terrible days lie ahead for men when thou dost actively intervene. O how we bless thee for the grace that has saved us. For thy spirit within that has given us intelligence and insight and understanding. O God, bless thy word to thy people. May these things not only make us more intelligent, but humble us before thee to give thee thanks for salvation and redemption in Christ. Grant, O God, it might help us to separate ourselves from a godless world that's going fast to perdition. Lord, look upon us. Now receive our thanks, the joy of being together reading our Bibles, understanding the same. Thou hast told us so to do, to read distinctly and to give the sense and cause the people to understand. Lord, bless thy word and bless thy people. Take all of us home in safety now, we pray. Remember nights to come in thy mercy and grace. We offer our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.